Hey, everybody. It's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in, as always, and being a part of our audience when we go live from our assembly building on Sunday mornings, as well as when we create content for you here midweek. If you haven't already done so, if you would consider subscribing and ringing the alarm bell here on YouTube as a way of staying current with the ministry, we would certainly appreciate that. Also want to remind you about our Rumble channel here. Apparently, I neglected to call up that tab in advance, but we have a Rumble channel also as an alt-tech site. Should you be into alt-tech sites or would like an alternative to YouTube, please consider searching or checking out Grace Life Bible Church on Rumble. My featured books this week are, once again, my co-authored book with my former professor, Dr. Dale DeWitt, J.C. O'Hare and the Origins of the American Grace Movement. This is a full-length feature church history book on an important figure in the history of American dispensationalism, particularly in the formation of the mid-Acts dispensational position. So if you're into the history of dispensationalism or would like to know more about this important figure, please consider picking up a copy of J.C. O'Hare. Also, want to remind you about the E.W. Bullinger book, Rightly Dividing E.W. Bullinger, Assessing His Life, Ministry, and Impact. It's a brief sketch of his life and ministry with an emphasis on the historical development of the Acts 28 dispensational point of view, how that view came into existence and what role Bullinger played in that, and the different shifts in his theology and thinking over time compared to his early ministry with his late ministry. So two important figures here in the history of dispensationalism. Please avail yourself of this material if you want to know more about that information. Those of you that have been following the channel here, you know that since the summer, I have been reviewing and going through Daniel G. Hummel's book, The Rise and Fall of Dispensationalism, and this is going to be episode 19 in that series. You should look for two videos. If things go the way I hope they will, I will be releasing two videos from now until the end of 2023, because it's my goal to be done covering this book by the end of the year so that come next year, 2024, I can focus on other things and other subjects, okay? Now, those of you that were with us last time, you know that we were in the chapter here titled The Great Rift, okay? And we were talking about the rift between covenantal and dispensational theology. It was a subject that we didn't get to tackle because that video was already running long, and that is this subsection of chapter 12, Ochanga, Henry, and Ladd, Neo-Evangelical Fusionism, all right? So what ends up happening here is after World War II, throughout the 1930s and 40s, and then after World War II, a new movement begins to develop called the Neo-Evangelical Movement, okay? And we need to talk about that before we get into chapter 13 here on dispensational politics. So we're going to be talking about this subsection right here briefly on neo-evangelicalism, and that starts on page 203 of chapter 12. So scholastic skirmishes highlighted how fundamentalist identity was inextricable from labeling and debating dispensationalism. Covenantalists and dispensationalists, each with their own scholars, presses, seminaries, and churches, were locked into a theological cold war of their own making. So the theological sides have been drawn here, okay? Now into this is going to enter the neo-evangelicals. That war had many conceptual fronts, but none more active than deciding exactly what constituted the kingdom of God. Morrow's seminal critique of dispensationalism fixed attention on its, quote, postponement theory of the kingdom and limited its presence to the future. In Morrow and later covenantalists' attacks, this definition of the kingdom unduly warped the theology, evangelicalism, evangelical techniques, ethical considerations, and social concern of dispensationalists. The kingdom critique became one of the predominant fundamentalist attacks on dispensationalism beyond the covenantal scholastics. It appeared to be a new form in the neo-evangelical movement of the 1940s. Led by evangelist Billy Graham, neo-evangelicals, sometimes called themselves new evangelicals, claimed to represent a halfway point between fundamentalists and modernists. Their stated objective was to be a big tent, and through the renovated label of evangelical, to draw together as many Christians across the spectrum of denominations and creeds as they could to work together on the basis of minimal shared doctrinal commitment. In this period, the term evangelical was basically an endeavor to broker agreement between fundamentalists, Pentecostals, and conservative mainline Protestants to return attention to the broader confrontation with modernism and liberal Protestantism. Understood in this way, the neo-evangelicals aimed to achieve in the religious space something akin to more famous fusionism that conservatives were forging in the political arena. In the 1940s, neo-evangelicalism would be far more accurately described as fusing the eschatological vision of premillennialism with the covenantal theology of the Reformed tradition. So that's what I'm saying. They're trying to strike a middle ground now between the views of dispensationalism on the millennium and Reformed the covenantal Reformed tradition. The new evangelicals want to strike a new note in fundamentalism. A coiner of the label, Harold Ochanga, proclaimed in 1947. Ochanga trained at Westminster Theological Seminary and was a pastor in Boston. Like Morrow, Ochanga rejected dispensational time and blamed it for, quote, the abandonment of the social fields to the secularists. Unlike Morrow, he was eager to bridge rather than widen the chasm between the fundamentalist faction. So what happens here is there begins to become a social critique of dispensationalism, okay? And it's going to start with these new evangelicals, and they're going to say, well, you dispensationalists, you guys are not engaging enough in the sort of social issues of the day, and there is no social heart to what you are doing, so to speak, okay? Now, this is going to lead to the founding of Fuller Theological Seminary. I have a bunch of books over here on my bookcase regarding this. Okay, so Fuller Seminary in California is going to come about largely because of this. Okay, so the money for Fuller's media ministry seeded Fuller Seminary, a school that would ironically become a hotbed of anti-dispensational scholarship. So dispensationalism is in the crosshairs in this new neo-evangelical movement, and it's going to be accused of not being socially attuned enough in its approach. The fusionism new evangelicals pursued would come at the expense of dispensationalists. While dispensationalists insisted that a consistent premillennialism required dispensational categories, new evangelicals did not. Fuller's founding faculty differed on many eschatological details, but were united in rejecting dispensationalism's exclusive claim to premillennial belief. Of Fuller's original four faculty members, Carl F. Henry, Wilbur Smith, Everett Harrison, and Harold Linsell, only Harrison had a direct connection to Dallas as a one-time lecturer. Okay, now another important name here is going to be Ladd, George Eldon Ladd, both critics of dispensationalism. Much of the Fuller Seminary faculty agreed with the covenantalist critique that dispensationalism advanced a heterodox view of the kingdom that limited fundamentalist effectiveness and destroyed theological consensus. So the neo-evangelicals out of Fuller Seminary, they are agreeing with the critiques of dispensationalism that have been put forth by the covenantalists. Okay, so that is going to now be front and center in this, and then a book is going to be written in 1947 called The Uneasy Conscience of Modern Fundamentalism by Carl F. Henry, which is going to be a massively important book in this movement. Okay, neo-evangelical fusionism was greatly elaborated in Carl F. Henry's book The Uneasy Conscience of Modern Fundamentalism, which would go on to sell more than 100,000 copies. In his discussion of eschatology and the kingdom of God, Henry avoided technical terminology, preferring phrases like kingdom than preaching to describe the dispensationalist identification of the kingdom with the future Israel. In a pivotal chapter, The Apprehension of Kingdom Preaching, Henry introduced the distinction between non-dispensational fundamentalism and dispensational fundamentalism, to make the point that larger fundamentalist movement had become so embittered by debates over the millennium that everyone preferred to, quote, stay away from the kingdom. The kingdom then theology of dispensationalism diminished the world reverence of the gospel, Henry complained on page 48. The great majority of fundamentalist clergymen during the past generation of world disintegration became increasingly less vocal about social evils. So here we have the social aspect of this coming into play. And much of the blame lay with dispensationalism. The debate about the... So they're blaming dispensationalism for a lack of social focus amongst the fundamentalists. Okay? That's what Carl F. Henry is doing. And by the way, I have Henry's book on the shelf behind me. I've read it, and we covered it, as I'll show you in a minute, in the Grace History Project. This debate about terminology focused on two central Christian concepts, the nature of the kingdom of God and the church's role in confronting social evils. In both cases, Henry found dispensationalism wanting. Yet Henry, too, wanted to build bridges rather than raze them. He called for a Dante between the premillennialists and amillennialists and suggested the outlines of the kingdom theology that he hoped would appeal to a critical mass of fundamentalists. The kingdom of new neo-evangelicalism was, quote, now and then, presented but not wholly established, future, but not wholly postponed. So they are trying to strike a middle ground on kingdom theology. Now, not yet, is the kind of a concept here. So the kingdom is sort of here in an inaugural form, but yet not totally, because it awaits a total future fulfillment. So it's sort of a now, then, here, not yet kind of a concept that they're trying to enunciate here, that being the neo-evangelicals. In Henry's understanding, this difference over the kingdom was an issue hampering Orthodox Christian effectiveness. Fundamentalism had, quote, an uneasy conscience, he explained, precisely because of the contradiction of hope and pessimism fostered by dispensational theology. The gospel of hope, coupled with prophetic despair, he explained, has posed during the last two generations a problem with fundamentalism was unable to satisfactorily resolve. Henry offered a sketch of a solution, but it would fall to others to erect a more robust kingdom theology and place neo-evangelical fusionism in the arena on a more solid footing. George Eldon Ladd, Henry's colleague at Fuller Seminary, would build his distinguished career on fulfilling this task. Ladd had uncritically adopted dispensational teachings and the Church-Israel distinction as a teenage convert to Christianity. When he trained at Gordon Divinity School and Harvard University, he began to reform his views. By this time, he joined Fuller, who was fully disenchanted with dispensationalism. In his first two books, Critical Questions About the Kingdom of God, 1952, and Blessed Hope, 1956, Ladd spared no criticisms. He broke with dispensationalism because of, quote, a feeling of uncertainty as to the soundness of some of its positions, and, quote, a feeling of dissatisfaction with the quality of much of the literature which espoused the position. He had grown up in an atmosphere where, quote, one must not talk about the kingdom of God as existing in our generation, for this was a theme that only liberals were preaching, and any statement pointing to the kingdom must be placed at the end of the age. Such an atmosphere, in his estimation, produced a distorted sense of Christian priorities. So you can see that Ladd is reacting against dispensational theology. Like Henry, Ladd triangulated between the covenantal amillennialists who denied a future earthly reign of Christ and the premillennialists, at least of the dispensational persuasion, who tended to minimize, if not deny, a present spiritual kingdom inaugurated by Christ. In place of both, Ladd sketched in his next books, especially The Kingdom of God, 1959, and Jesus and the Kingdom, 1964, an already not yet kingdom theology, also called inaugurated eschatology. He celebrated the diverse theological influences, including German scholars W.G. Kummel and Oscar Cullimann, and Princeton theologian Gerhard Voss, as a signal he was escaping the, quote, technique of desperation. The dispensationalists resorted to when they labeled non-dispensational theology as dangerous to orthodoxy. The new evangelical theological attack on dispensationalism had institutional implications. By 1961, when Fuller revised its doctrinal statement to remove both premillennialism and biblical inerrancy as requirements for teaching, the dispensational presence at the school had all but evaporated. Fuller Seminary had declared that it was headed in another direction entirely from Dallas, not simply by modifying details of the end times, but by breaking from the deepest logic of the dispensational system. So that's the neo-evangelical fusion, okay? Now, you need to know there are some other resources that you need to check out on this, okay? And those would be Grace History Project, Lesson 112, Carl F. Henry's Uneasy Conscience. And then also you're going to want to check out Lesson 115, The New Evangelicalism, Ronald Nash versus C.R. Stam, Part 1. And then also Lesson 116, The New Evangelicalism, Ronald Nash versus C.R. Stam, Part 2. So this wraps up the video here on kind of finishing Chapter 12 by talking about the neo-evangelical fusionism. Now, my original intention with this video when I started it was going to be to go over then into Chapter 13 as well. I don't think that's probably a good idea. We need to keep that information separate. And then I will make a separate video on Chapter 13, Dispensational Politics, because that in and of itself is a deep chapter that's very important to understanding the argumentation in Hummel's book. So you need to understand a new development at Fuller Theological Seminary. You need to understand the new evangelical, neo-evangelical movement. Carl F. Henry is sort of the real linchpin to get that started. And then George Eldon Ladd is going to be the theological brainchild of this system of trying to walk a middle ground between covenantalism and dispensationalism on the issue of the kingdom. And again, the key sort of take is the already not yet kingdom that Ladd is going to enunciate. Please make sure to avail yourself of these extra resources on this topic. I'm sure that you'll find them helpful and beneficial to an understanding of this subject matter. As always, if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, if you've never relied exclusively on his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood for you on the cross of Calvary, please trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to suffer and make satisfaction and satisfy the offended justice of God against sin so that he could give you and I eternal life as a free gift. Your works, your law keeping, your performance will never make you righteous before Almighty God. You need the righteousness of God. God is obligated to give eternal life to anyone who possesses perfect righteousness, and he's willing to give that to you freely through the death, burial, and resurrection of his son. Trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.